Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Nick and Cecil. Here's former Bronco Nick Ferguson and DenverFan.com's Cecil Lennon.
Just wave them around if you don't know by now. I'm talking about Chi-Town.
Well, we talk about the Denver Nuggets and we talk about the National Basketball Association because we love the game and we love getting insight from Scoop Jackson, longtime NBA analyst, joining us now on that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. And Scoop, good evening. Welcome to the show. And when the Jamal Murray injury happens, it's like a gut punch for me and Nick and Nuggets fans here in Denver. What did you think when you saw Murray go down, and what did you think it did to Denver's chances at the Western Conference Finals and NBA Finals?
It was a gut kick on this end. it was more than a punch because, you know, especially the way you all were playing when Aaron got there, it just made it seem like everything was clicking, and that void that had not been filled when, when Grant left, seemed that, you know, Aaron could have filled some of that void. We just needed to see if he had the dog on defense that Grant had that gave you all another dimension. Losing Jamal, especially the way he played in the bubble last year, is like, can they really get past a healthy Lakers team without him? Can they really, you know, get past the way Utah's been playing all year? You know, it was a kick in the gut because you started to think, all right, once Aaron got there, this may be their year to, like, shock the world. So I don't want to count them out. I never want to do that. But I don't know how you lose a player of that magnitude and of that importance to the entire structure of your team. Yes, Joker is who the team is built around, but the team is still run by Jamal, and we saw what happens in playoff times where he has the ability to take over games and do it comfortably against other guards, and that's necessary in the playoffs, especially for whoever you have to go through. So without having that, you know, Western Conference Finals is still in the thing, but I don't know if they can get past in a 7-game series a healthy Lakers team or a healthy Utah team, you know, on that matter, without him being there, without them being at full strength.
What's cool, we always talk about European players, but more importantly, how skilled that they are. Last night we saw an amazing, you know, clincher of a score from Luka Doncic, and we were always having this conversation about, well, who is in the MVP conversation? So as a guy that's covered basketball for years, I'll ask you, you're starting a team, and you're building it out. And there's two players that are sitting there, Nikola Jokic and Luka Doncic. Which guy are you selecting and why?
I love questions like this because there really is no wrong answer. But I think you have to get into the minutia. You got to get into the real details of what it is that you're looking for as a franchise. And I'm not trying to, like, avoid an answer at all because I do have an answer, but I think there's other things that are predicated in there. You know, if I'm a general manager and I had to make a decision between these two to build a franchise around, one, I would have to see what market I'm in. First off, that would be the first thing, because as much as I love Joker and as much as he brings to the table, I don't know if he's going to play well and get the attraction I need to put butts in the fans in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, yo.
Right.
So now, yes, I do want to win championships and I can build a team around him, but I'm still trying to make money. You know what I'm saying? I'm still trying to get it. I can't just have a good team because, no disrespect, but, you know, you can't take the Utah Jazz and stick them in, you know, in New York and all of a sudden expect the Garden to fill up when they start letting people back in. There's certain styles of play that work well in certain places. If I'm a GM, I'm like, you know, I may be able to get away with putting Luka, you know, in Atlanta and it working because of his personality, because of his style of play. You know, my television revenue may go up because of his style of play that is attractive to a urban city that likes a little flash, that likes this, that, and the other, that, you know, that goes in there. That, so I may work there. I'm not sure if I'm going to get that with Luka alone. I mean, with Nikola alone. I don't know if I'm going to get that alone. Maybe I'll get somebody to act in it with. Now, if I'm building a franchise and you're telling me I can get Joker and the next pick I'm getting is Trae Young, oh, hell yeah, I'm good. You know what market I'm in. You know, that's going to work. But as a standalone, as a GM, something like that, has to be taken into consideration of where I decide to go. So where I'm asking you this, where are you placing me in making this decision?
Well, let's, you know what? Let's put him in Chi-Town.
In Chicago?
Yeah, let's put him in Chi-Town. So who are you taking now?
Oh.
In Chi-Town. We know who it is.
You know what? No. That's very easy. I'm taking Joker all day. Because guess what? The one thing, because of the way he plays, because of the position he plays, there will not be any pressure for him to live up to and under that Jordan shadow.
Always telling the truth. Always great talking.
Luka, even though it's different, but he's still a guard. He still, you know, has flair to his game. You know, a little flash. He's still, you know, there's still some, you know, Larry Bird-ish comparisons and this, that, and the other, which are going to lend him to that era and this, that, and the other. And he's going to be playing under that Michael shadow. I'm like, look, man, give me Joker all day. And I don't have to worry about the Jordan comparisons. I could build around that much easier, and that pressure to be the next person who's, you know, who's somehow similar to Jordan because you all played the similar positions and you all are, you know, y'all are distributors and ball handlers and you all around the same size as the other. And, you know, I take Joker all day if I'm here in Chicago. And I can easily build around that. Easily. The only comparisons they'll make about Nikola here would be Tom Borwick, but back in the day is one of the best passing big men ever. And then he'd have his own lane that he could operate from. Luka coming to Chicago would not have a lane all by himself. It would be Michael Jordan, and then somehow, Lord, if we put him at point guard, it's going to be Derrick Rose. You know, and that's unfair to him. You know what I'm saying? That is unfair to him.
Always telling the truth, it's Scoop Jackson, longtime NBA analyst, joining Nick and Cecil here on The Fan. And Scoop, I had talked before the Jamal Murray injury. I'd said the Achilles heel for this Nuggets team is going to be Jokic when he's fouled. It seems to get in his head. Watch him play a more physical big man. Watch him play against, like, Big Cat or something like that. Like, you see how he gets so concentrated on how the refs aren't giving him calls. He's not going to get these calls.
Right.
He is a superstar, but he doesn't get superstar calls. Is that something that he can change? Do you see it as the same Achilles heel for Joker and the Nuggets in the playoffs?
I think without Jamal there, you know, rescuing him, you know, without talking to him and, you know, taking the focus away from him and giving him, you know, four or five possessions where he can calm down, it may be a problem. You know, but here's the deal. Superstars don't get superstars calls, but a lot of times superstars don't get superstar calls when they're playing with or against, I mean, playing against other superstars.
All right.
So we're talking about playoff series, and who do we think the Nuggets are going to have to go through, you know, in order to get where they have to go? If they have to play Phoenix, now Ayton hasn't gotten the superstar status, so Joker may get those calls against him. You know, Rudy Gobert, for the most part, he's not an MVP-level superstar, but, you know, it depends on who he's playing against. You know, that could go one for what? Chris Paul got superstar status. You know, in that situation. You know what I mean? I'm talking about now, Donovan Mitchell got superstar status.
Right.
Mike Conley doesn't have superstar status, but, you know, it's there. But when the referees are like, okay, you know, I can't foul, you know, Donovan Mitchell comes to the hole. If Luka gets near him, Donovan's a superstar too, so he might have to call it against Jokic. You know what I'm saying? If you have to go against, if you have to go against the L.A. Clippers, Kawhi's a superstar, Paul's a superstar. If they're coming and charging against and Luka finds himself on an island or trying to defend any one of them, switching off his man, he may not get that call. You got to go against the Lakers. LeBron and AD are superstars. Luka may not get those, you know what I'm saying? So it depends on who you have to go through, because superstars a lot of times don't get called when you're playing against superstars that may have a lot more clout than you do. And no disrespect, but Joker ain't got LeBron clout yet.
Right.
He doesn't have Kawhi Leonard clout yet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He and Donovan Mitchell are fighting for clout. But, you know, in order to go through that, and you have to go through a seven-game series, you can't complain to the refs if you're looking at the other end of the board, you know, and there's LeBron. And no disrespect, I think he got AD clout, but he don't have an AD ring yet. So we talk about superstars getting called. Guess who gets the call before superstars? Those who have rings. So, yeah, I think they're, you know, depending on the series that they're in, as it goes along, when the superstar level starts to increase, that's something that he's going to have to recognize, that I'm not getting these calls, but I haven't gotten to that status yet. So I can't get mad. Let me understand that this is part of the process. And once I get to that superstar status, once we do get a ring, once I elevate myself to the upper echelon of superstars, then I'm not going to complain anymore. You know, Tim Duncan used to complain a lot, even though he got his rings early. You know, he would still get, you know, the same thing that Joker's getting, but his demeanor was different. But he'd still be upset about that. He showed it differently, but he still got upset about that. But, you know, after about year 6, 7, when Tim was that dude, you know, he's like, the only time I'm getting calls is I play against KG. And guess what? The Timberwolves don't get out the first round, so I'm good. He wasn't worried about that. You know, and Joker is just a process. All of them have to go through it. So if somebody can get in his head, you know, it can't be one of his brothers, because they'll teach him how to do it in an MMA style, and he'll be back to fighting again, and we don't want that. He just has to understand that unless he has the right to argue and complain about not getting superstar calls, as long as he's not playing against somebody who's above him, you know, in that hierarchy. If he can learn how to deal with that, and that's on Malone to get him there. That's right. Something the coach is going to have to really, really talk to him about nonstop. Like in practice, in shoot around, on bus rides, on plane rides, it almost, you know, he has to do the Phil Jackson and get into his head to, you know, subliminally let him know that this is where you have to be mentally when you get off on the court like this. So,
Scoop, before we let you get out of here, we got about 20 seconds here. I mean, MLB honoring Jackie Robinson. Really quickly, tell us, what does that mean for not just today's athletes, but just sports in general?
I think it's my answer to this is always the same thing. I think we need this in America to remind the people the role that sports play in basically doing the closest it can be done to humanizing Black people in this country. You know, people forget that Martin Luther King was the one that thanked Jackie Robinson and all the other guys who came into the league in 1947 for showing him the way to do what he did to help get us some type of civil rights in this country, you know, in the middle of that movement. It was baseball that, you know, was part of the springboard and the blueprint that laid it for Dr. King to know how to navigate through a civil rights movement. So every time we celebrate Jackie Robinson, it's a reminder of the role that baseball and sport played in making Black individuals in this country more than the 3/5 of human beings that the Constitution had us at the time. Mm.
Scoop, it's always a pleasure, man, to have you on. You always come on and drop knowledge here on the Nick and Cecil Show. And thanks for that tidbit on Jackie Robinson. Hopefully there are a lot of people out there who are sports fans, but they pick up on the idea of what this day and Jackie Robinson actually stands for in the world of sports, man. Appreciate it, and thank you for always joining us here on the Nick and Cecil Show.
Anytime. Hey, can I give a shout-out to my father? He's in Denver, and my stepmom, they're out there in Denver, and I just got off the phone with him, so I wanted to publicly tell him I love him.
There you go.
There you go.
Done shout and done.
Shout-out time. I'll shout-out this. Since the first issue of Slam Magazine, I've loved Scoop Jackson. Loved it, man. Yeah. You want to talk about knowledge, insight, wisdom, right? Personality. It's got it all, man.
That's why I love having him on, man. And next time we have him on, I definitely have to get you to talk about your shoe collection.
I was going to tell him about my Dream Team 2 Larry Johnson jersey that I've got right next to me. But it's Nick and Cecil, and he said something about Michael Malone, what Michael Malone needs to do to further push Nikola Jokic that I don't know if he can do. We'll answer that next.